It's always a joy to be with you, and especially today, we're happy that we could gather, as we've been saying, after being displaced, it seemed, for 15 weeks, be able to be in person and meet together in church is such a blessing. And we're going to be starting a new string of messages. We're going to be going through and looking at some of the important prayers in the Bible. And I'm titling these next group of messages, Go-To Prayers, because certainly the Bible provides not only instruction and motivation for prayer, but examples of prayers that people prayed. And certainly, we need God's prayer more than ever before in our country. We need God to rain down the blessings. Speaking of which, how about all the rain we had this weekend? You know, Friday, it was like a monsoon, like we were in the middle of the ocean and there was a storm. And then yesterday, it was nice, and all of a sudden, rain came out of nowhere. You know, when you think about rain and you think about prayer, the two are synonymous in the Bible. God wants us to realize that He is the one who controls all things, and we want to trust Him to rain down His blessings. And so each week, we want to go through a different prayer in the Bible, and today we're going to be talking about the prayer of provision. Now, usually you have the paper notes of whatever I'm doing each week. Right now, we're not doing that. We're going to come back to that in a few weeks, but you could follow right along. Those who are watching at home are right here. You have the church app. You can open it up, Crossroads Church, Staten Island. You could submit a prayer request, a connection card, and you could get my teaching notes and follow right along with the message. The information will also be on the screens as well. But I've titled today's message, The Prayer of Provision. And certainly we need God's provision right now in our own life, in our own home. And this is what the prayer of provision is. And you'll notice it right here. In fact, why don't we say it together? It's on the screen. But here it is. This is the prayer of provision. Seek God to rain down blessings and to end my drought. Have you ever felt like you were in a drought, maybe an emotional drought? Maybe you're in a smile drought. There's no reason to smile, it feels like. Well, that kind of summarizes 2020 right now, I would say. Sometimes you feel like you're in a relational drought. There's problems in the home. Sometimes you might feel like you're in a financial drought. And it's also possible to be in a spiritual drought. And if that's the case, we need to understand that it's God who sends the rain to end the drought. And no matter who you are, nobody has perfect seasons in life. I mean, that's such a fallacy, by the way. If I go to church, everything's going to go my way. No, on the contrary. What we must realize is that life really, truly is one drought after another. And you're either coming out of a drought or going into a drought. You might be going into one. It's important that you know where the rain comes from. And God's the one who sends the rain. Here's an overarching verse that really puts it into perspective. It speaks of God's covenant promise to His people to provide. It's found in Psalm 68, verse 9. Why don't we say this verse together, a great verse to commit to memory. You sent abundant rain, O God, to refresh the weary land. That's what God's blessings do, don't they? You know, when we're down and out, when we're struggling, when there is a drought of courage, a drought of peace, perhaps a drought of confidence, God desires to rain down and to refresh His people. And whether literally it was rain coming down so that the crops could be watered, or the grounds could be cleaned, or people could gather, or whether spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, God wants to rain down more mercy, more grace, more peace, more courage in these difficult times. Certainly, let it be said of us that we're seeking the God who brings the rainstorm, the God who promises to bring the rain. Now, there are numerous stories in the Bible that illustrate rain as a blessing and water as a blessing, but there's one really classic one that sticks out, and it's the story of Elijah. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. You could follow again along with the notes that are provided on the church app, the Crossroads Church app, or on the screen. And it's here that we find in 1 Kings chapter 18, we find this incredible story of the prophet Elijah, who calls rain down. He prays for rain. But in order to understand the context, let's look back at chapter 17 and the beginning of chapter 18. You might recall that in the land right now is the evil King Ahab, and he has allowed the worship of Baal to proliferate all along the region in God's land, and that doesn't sit well with God. And so God sends his man, the prophet Elijah, in the beginning of chapter 17, the chapter prior, and he says, because of all that is going on, I'm going to essentially bring a drought. God said, I'm turning off the faucet of heaven. That's it. The spigot is closed. There's going to be no rain. We find out that there was going to be a drought for 42 months, for 3.5 years, remarkable amount of time. In addition to that, there was a big showdown on the Mount Carmel. What had happened was Elijah had asked that they would gather all the prophets of Baal, and Elijah would come as well, and they were going to see whose God could bring fire down. Well, you know the story. The prophets of Baal, they were singing and dancing, carrying on like a three-ring circus. No fire came down. They even cut themselves. No fire came down. But then Elijah, he prayed, and what did God do? He sent fire down. He also performed the sacrifice, and he also then destroyed the prophets of Baal. And that's where we come to here in verse 41. And in process of all of this, the people who were worshiping Baal, who shouldn't have been, who were supposed to be followers of God, what did they do? They returned back to God, and they worshiped the Lord their God. And that was when God had said, if you turn back to me, I will send the rain. And so here we come now to verse 41 of chapter 18. You have the context. It's important to understand the Bible that way. And so Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a rainstorm. Well, wait a minute. Did he hear thunder? Did he get a little notification on his cell phone from the weather app that it's going to rain in 23 minutes in this zip code or this neighborhood? No, that's not what happened. He didn't physically hear, as we would, that there was thunder or rain. God told him that it was going to rain. See, the same Hebrew word for sound is used in verse 26, in verse 29 of this same chapter, and again in chapter 19. And there we see the prophets of Baal calling out to their God, but there was no voice, it says. Same Hebrew word here. And then again, in verse 29, they were cutting themselves for fire to come down. No voice, it said. In chapter 19, it says that God spoke to him in a small voice. That's the same Hebrew word here for sound. And so God told Elijah that the rain is going to come. A rainstorm is coming. And so Elijah was so sure of this that he told Ahab, why don't you go celebrate? The drought is going to be over. So Ahab went to eat and to drink. But notice this, but Elijah went up to the summit of Carmel. So he went to the very top of the mountain. Now, why in the world would he do that? Think about this for a second. Again, the context. Right now, Elijah's popularity is through the roof. He called down fire, had the sacrifice, destroyed the prophets of Baal. Everybody's worshiping God. Right now, Elijah is the man of the hour. I'm sure people are saying great things about him. When people say great things about you, do you run away? No. Could you say that again? Would you say? Repeat that, please. Would you say? Say that again. Who doesn't love? Listen, oxygen is encouragement. You know, we have to understand that oxygen is encouragement for our soul to breathe, our lungs to breathe. Well, encouragement does that for our heart and our mind. And so who doesn't want to receive encouragement? This was a great time, probably the apex in Elijah's life at this point. And he goes to withdraw to be with God. Why is that? Well, because God started telling him something, and in order to get the rest of the message, he wanted to get away with God. So you might want to take notice of this first principle. It's in the notes, but here it is. Get away from distractions to hear what God is doing. Can you say that with me? Get away from distractions to hear what God is doing. You know, I want to commend you for being at church today or those who are watching. This is our second service, and we have another service coming up. What a blessing it is to be at church and really to try to block out all the distractions of the world and really to focus on God for this hour together. But we got to do that on a daily basis. We got to get away from the distractions. And that's what Elijah's doing. Even, you know, sometimes distractions are negative, but this is kind of good. He's getting away from encouragement. He's getting away from people heaping praise on him because there's something more important, and that is hearing from God. He's got to get away. And if you're going to pray for provisions in your drought, you got to make sure that you're not distracted so you could hear God clearly. There's lots of distraction right now in our world. It's all around us. We need to hear accurately, and we need to hear authentically from God, from his word and his spirit. And that is what Elijah does. You know, we live in a very distracted age. Yes, we are the most technologically connected age right now. We've never been more connected, but we've never been more distracted. I just read the other day, research shows that every day there's 107, listen to this is almost ridiculous to even say this, 107 billion spam and junk mail email that's sent. Isn't that crazy? Okay, imagine that. And I'm sure that number, even if you wanted to get conservative and just say, well, that number's inflated a little bit. Okay, you know, 80 billion, okay? It's still a lot. Significant amount of internet traffic is spam mail. And here's something that's really crazy. A study was done that 22.9 million work hours is spent on deleting that spam mail. Now, how does that work? Does your boss come up to you and go, what are you doing? Oh, I'm deleting spam mail. Okay, you're fired. I mean, you know, who's going to be honest at that point? But nevertheless, people are spending an incredible amount of time. You get distracted from your work. And how does the spam mail come? I didn't sign up for this. How'd this come? I'm going to tell you how it comes. Everybody has these phones, and they're great, and you can connect with people. Well, I'll give you an example. The other day, I love sunglasses, and they don't have to be super expensive. I love any type of sunglasses, but the other day, I was just talking about, hey, I wanted to get this sunglasses for when I ride my bike. The next thing I knew, I got notifications coming on my phone. I got emails about sunglasses. I got on my social media feed. I got advertisements. They're listening, and the spam is coming. I got Groupons, and this coming for sunglasses and other things. I said, I like this dish. All of a sudden, this restaurant shows up. Okay? You know, again, the distractions are all around us. And if we're going to hear from God, if we're going to see the rain fall, we got to hear from God first, because it might look like dry land in front of you. The forecast may not be calling for rain. The forecast may not be calling for blessing. That's because we're too distracted to hear what God is doing. And Elijah gets alone with God. Now, this was a practice of Jesus. Jesus always got alone with God. And if Jesus could get alone with God, how much more should we be getting alone with God? Look what it says in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and checked his phone. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. There's nothing wrong with checking your phone, but Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he what? He prayed. And again, if the Son of God can make that a daily part of his day, how much more should you and I be doing it? We got to get alone to hear what God is doing. God is whispering that the rain is coming. God is trying to tell you that he wants to bring blessing in your home, blessing in your life, that more mercy is coming, more grace is coming, more opportunities to serve him is coming. Not that, oh, it's all going to work out, everything's going to go my way. I mean, anybody that says that, it's ridiculous. But God wants you to remind you of the blessings he's promised to you and I. And it's hard to hear what God is doing if we're so distracted with good things and sometimes, yes, let's be honest, the bad things of this life. We must be careful. We got to get away from the distractions. We got to get alone with God. Now, as this continues, it says that, but Elijah went up to the mountain. Now, what did he do when he went to the mountain? Well, we know he was praying, and we know that because look what it says next. In the second part of verse 42 here in 1 Kings 18, it says, he bent down on the ground and put his face between his knees. My friends, this is what you call the posture of prayer. No circus, no theatrics, no drama. Just him and God. We live in a culture today in American church where everything's a show. People want to be entertained when they come to church. We need to be more focused on being edified by the Spirit and encouraged by the Spirit. Here comes Elijah, and he is praying and seeking God in a humble, sensitive manner. That's his posture right here. He's going to come with boldness, but he's going to come in a special way. And so I want you to take notice of this next point. And let this become a creed for how you seek God, especially in your drought. And it's this: pray with bent knees, open ears, and wet eyes when I'm in a drought. Can you say that with me? Pray with bent knees, open ears, wet eyes when I'm in a drought. That's how we have to be praying. See, this was a sincere prayer here. This was a passionate prayer. And you might say, how do we know that? Well, this story is so good it finds its way in the New Testament as well. Look what it says in James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. James is talking about prayer, and he says, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And then he gives Elijah as the example of powerful prayer. Look what it says in James 5, 17 to 18. Elijah was a human just as you and I are. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute. This man called down fire. God chose him to shut down the rain. How can this man just be like me? Well, it's God who did that. You need to understand that all prayer is an understanding that God is holy and he is sovereign. That is how we pray. That's from the position we pray for. It wasn't Elijah that did these things. God simply used Elijah. He was somebody just like you and I. You might say, Ray, how do you know that? Well, chapter 19 tells us that King Ahab's wife put a hit on him. Imagine that. She put a contract out on Elijah. Elijah got so concerned with it, he got depressed about it. And he said, I'd just rather die. Have you ever felt like that, where you felt like you at the end of your rope? You felt that you just wanted to put the covers over your head and never come out? That's how Elijah felt. He's a great man of God. He's a man just like you and I. He had great moments and he had tough moments, just like you and I. But nevertheless, this is what it says. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell. And here's how we have the time frame. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Now, the fact that he prayed earnestly tells us that when God told them, go tell Ahab it's not going to rain, God also must have told them, and you have to pray for this. You have to pray for this drought to happen, because this drought has to get the attention of the nation. The nation is foolishly, sheeplessly following Ahab and the worshiping the false prophets of Baal. And the only way to break this idolatry is to turn the spigot off from heaven, literally, not only of all blessings, but the blessing they're going to need for their crops. And he was praying in accordance with God. But then it says in verse 18, then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. We got to pray that way and trust that God is going to bring a blessing. I heard the story about a little boy named Johnny. By the way, doesn't it feel like every little story is about a boy named Johnny, by the way? You ever notice that? But no, it truly is about a boy named Johnny. And he wanted a sibling so bad. He was only 5 years of age. And so he prayed and prayed and prayed. It was a house of faith. And he prayed. And he prayed for, you know, before he told his parents. But then he went to his parents and he said, I'm praying that God gives me a sibling, preferably a brother. And his dad said, okay, well, you know, how long have you been praying? I've been praying, the boy said. And the dad said, okay, keep praying for another 2 months. Okay, so he prayed for another 2 months. And then after the 2 months, there was no baby. And he spoke to his teacher and said, how long does it take for a baby to come? And she said, 9 months. He asked his auntie, and auntie said, 9 months. And so he's thinking, wait a minute, you know, where is this baby? Now, a few weeks later, about a month to be exact, mom and dad called him into a room, and there was not one, but two babies. Mom had twins. And now the boy's going, well, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? And then dad says to his son, aren't you glad you prayed for 2 months for the baby to come? And he said, well, aren't you glad I stopped and only prayed for 2 months? You would have had 9 more children. You know, I tell that story tongue in cheek because the innocence of children where prayer is remarkable, and the sincerity of how children pray. As adults, you know, we get to a point, we want to line everything up. We want to know how this is. Show me the reports. Let's have a meeting. How's this going to be? How's that going to be? And it almost sabotages you and I from having this type of posture that we need to pray with. We got to have this type of posture. Because when we seek God with sincerity, the rains of his blessing will come. Look what it says in Hosea 10:12. Plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will have a harvest, a crop of love. Plow the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and show righteousness upon you. We got to plow the hard ground. We got to sow the seed. I pray today that you know that you believe that God wants to bless you. There's nothing wrong with a believer thinking that way, that God wants to send the rains of his blessing upon you and your house. We need it upon our nation more than ever before. We are certainly in a drought right now, wouldn't you say? And God does want to bless us. He's blessed us before. But if we're not willing to turn to him, we can't expect to see and hear about his rain coming. Now, God wants to bring rain in your life. He wants to rain down blessings upon your children, upon your marriages, upon your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents. God loves to bless you and I. But we have to be in agreement with him. We have to have bent knees, open ears to what he's saying. And we need to have wet eyes so that we could hear and see God accurately. Take notice of this next point. This is very important as well. It goes part and parcel with the last one. Focus on what God says instead of what we see. Can you say that with me? Focus instead of what we... Now, how we usually act? I'll believe it when I... That's how we are with God too. We say that with people we don't trust. But we also do that with God. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you don't want to think like that as a believer. You want to listen for what God is saying, because God is saying rain is coming. God is saying that a rainstorm is on its way. And that's what happens here. Elijah's acting in faith. He already told Ahab to go get ready and go celebrate because the rain's coming. Now he's going to tell his helper, his servant, his employee, he's going to tell him, I want you to go to the sea, the Mediterranean. I want you to go look for the rain. Look what it says here in verse 43. Then he said to his servant, go up and look toward the sea. And so he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And Elijah said, you got to go seven times. Now, why would he tell him seven times? See, what we must remember is that God doesn't need us to perform miracles and let it rain, but he chooses to partner with us. A few weeks ago, I told you about Naaman, who was a leper. And he was told by the prophet to go and wash how many times in the river? Seven times. Now, it wasn't that by the seventh time all the leprosy was going to be gone. It was an act of obedience. God always attaches obedience, listen to this, to blessing. And here the same focus, metaphorically speaking, is in play. He told the servant, go seven times. Now, I'm sure the servant's like, listen, on the third time, I'm getting hot. It's a drought here. Are you sure? Maybe, Elijah, maybe you've lost your mind. Maybe you get a little old. Maybe you've been out in the sun a little bit too long. Maybe you're dehydrated that you're telling me to go look for rain. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's all barren right now. It's so dry, and you want me to, you're telling me to go look for rain. And Elijah said, do it seven times. And that's God, I believe, encouraging and reminding you and I all these years later to keep praying. To keep trusting, keep being obedient, keep doing the things that God has willed and called for you to do. That's how provision comes. It's not just, I'm in a jam, let me trust God. You know, right now, some of you, you might be waiting on God to bless you with the right person. Well, I got to continually do what God wants me to do, not just once in a while, so God could send the rain that way. God wants to bless you financially. Well, what am I doing? Am I positioning myself? God wants to bless me with my emotions or relations, whatever it might be. How am I positioning? God wants to bless my home. I mean, right now, you might be the Lone Ranger in terms of being a believer, and you are the only Elijah in your home. You need to focus on what God is saying instead of what you see, because what you see right now could look like it's going to be a lifetime of drought. In fact, there's never been any rain in your home, you might be thinking. We can look on right now and look at our country and go, is there any hope? Look at the drought that we're in right now. Is there any hope of a future? Again, you'll get scared, you'll get discouraged, and the enemy will use that to whisper in your ear more fear. If you're always focused on what you see, you got to trust what God is saying. Big difference. We're reminded what Paul said to the Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the plans that God has prepared for you. We have to focus on what God is saying, not what we see. We might see more drought. We might see more pain, but God sees healing. God sees the rains. We have to get in agreement with God. That's what the problem is. We can't have this one foot in and one foot out. God wants to send the rainstorm. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to listen? You know, before we have our last point, there's another story of a child that comes to mind. I love children and their prayers because, again, they're just so genuine. This one's of a little girl, and she wanted a kitten so bad. Any cat lovers here? Any kitties? Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. Good for you. She loved this idea of having her own kitty, so she kept asking mom, I want a kitty, I want a kitty, I want a kitty. And finally, mom said, well, you just pray for a kitty. So she went out in the yard, just as cows kids are, got on her knees, and she started to pray. And the mom was by the window watching, hearing the whole thing. She was praying for a little kitty. And then out of nowhere, a kitty came and dropped right in front of her. And she picked the kitty up and said, thank you, God. And mom looked at it in disbelief. They didn't have any tree in the yard. Like, where did this cat come from? So she just chopped it up to God answered the prayer. Well, a few days later, the neighbor, and they didn't have houses like us, one on top of another here in this area, but maybe like a lot over, said, you know, did you see a cat in your yard? Well, as a matter of fact, I saw a cat flying in my yard. Well, there was a kitten stuck in our tree, and the tree wasn't one of those thick trees. They were able to bend the tree, and they were trying to lower the tree to get the cat out, but they lost grip of the rope they had, and then the tree, like a slingshot, shot the kitty. And the kitty propelled right in front of the little girl. What's the point? If God wants to use a kitty in a tree to get a little girl a kitty, he could do it. God's ways, listen to this, are not our ways. God works like that. So stop looking at what you, getting caught up on what you see. Focus on what God has said to do. God has said to pray. 20 times in the New Testament, ask. Now, I'm not saying if you want a kitty, go pray, and there's going to be a kitty that's going to plop in your backyard. That's not what I'm telling you. Let me also say, and it's responsible for me to say this, almost like a disclaimer. There's over, let's be conservative, 7,000 promises in the Bible. There's more. It's probably about 7,750. But let's just say there were 7,000. Not all 7,000 are going to apply directly to me. Some are for the nation Israel. Some are time sensitive to a particular era. Some have to do with prophetics. As you know, we've been going through the book of Revelation. I've been teaching through it in the video devotions and the written devotions that I produce each week with the help of others. And so some of those promises are for that, and some of them are prophetic. But there are promises specifically that God gives to you and I. Some of them are conditional. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understandings. All of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So in other words, I have to be trusting in God, and that means that I can't be focusing on what I see. I got to focus on what God is saying. What is God saying to you right now? What has God already confirmed to you in his word? Guess what? You'll need to have a prayer meeting over it. God already told Elijah it was going to rain. He didn't need to pray about if it was going to rain. He was praying when it was going to rain. And that's the faith that you and I need to have right now. Be praying in your life that way for family, for situations, for medical reports, for resources that you need. It's okay for the children of God to seek God. See, God is the source of blessing. Not me, not you, not Elijah, not anybody else. It's God who opens the floodgates of heaven. And we have to focus on what God is saying instead of what we see all the time. Well, let's button up these last bunch of verses. Why not? In 1 Kings 18, verse 44, returning to our text, remember that servant that was told to go down seven times to look for rain? It says on the seventh, he reported there is a cloud as small as a man's hand. Here is one of the very first weather reports we have in history right here, okay? On the seventh day, seventh time rather, he reported, I see weather coming, okay? Al Roker's got nothing on this guy right now, okay? You have to understand that. There's a cloud. Now, the cloud is small, though. It's as small as a man's hand. How is a great rainstorm going to come from a small cloud? My friends, I want to tell you today, don't discount small clouds. See, God loves to use the small. What did he say in his word? What did Jesus say? If you have faith like what? Like a mustard seed. That's right. God just needs a little bit of faith. It's all on him anyway because he's sovereign and he's holy. You know, how about that mother that packed her son that lunch that day? What happened? Jesus, it's in all four gospels, Jesus fed 20,000 people with it, didn't he? God specializes in taking the small and making it exponentially large. And that's what's happening here. It's a small cloud the size of a man's hand. And this is what happened now. Then Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, get your chariot ready and go down so the rain don't stop you. In other words, go tell Ahab to get in his SUV, his, you know, he probably has an Escalade or whatever he's got. Get your chariot ready and go down so the rain doesn't stop you, because this isn't going to be a twinkle. This isn't going to be a sprinkle. It's not going to be a sun shower. It's going to be a rain that's so great that you're going to have to pull over and you're going to have to turn the car off. Forget about your windshield wipers. That's how bad this rain's going to be. It's going to be like something you haven't seen in 42 months, and it is going to be a complete downpour. Now, verse 45 gives us kind of the back end. It says, and then we fill it in after that. It says, in a little while, the sky grew dark with clouds and wind, and there was a downpour. So Ahab got in his chariot and went to Jezreel. That was his winter residence, by the way, Jezreel. Now, the power of the Lord was on Elijah, and he tucked his mantle. That was his garment. He had a long garment on under his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, Jezreel was about 25 miles from where they are right now. The scripture says that Elijah beat the chariot on foot. Now, for those of you who are athletic or like to run, or you wish you could run or whatever it might be, what you have to realize is that Elijah must have been running 25 to 30 miles per hour to beat the chariot. And he basically did a New York City marathon run to beat him there. How did he get there? Well, the Bible tells us God empowered him. God was the strength in his legs to get there supernaturally fast. What is this telling us, from the rain to something as simple as him beating the chariot over to Jezreel? You might want to take notice of this last point, and it's this. Prepare for rain by trusting God's power. Can you say that with me? Prepare for rain by trusting God's power. Let me ask you today, and I just want to, even those who are watching or listening at home, how are you preparing for the rain right now? Do you trust God that he could bring the rain in your family, in your home? I want to say right now, listen, here's some homework. You might have somebody in your family who doesn't know Christ. In faith, go buy a New Believer's Bible, because God's going to rain salvation in your home. Right now, you might have somebody who's stuck in an addiction. You go out and you go buy a recovery Bible, because that person's going to have those chains broken in Jesus' name. Oh, how can you talk like that? That's crazy. That's just the point. God's ways are not our ways. He is a supernatural God who defies human laws. In fact, he could do it because he's the one that placed these laws into practice. If he wants a virgin to be with child, so be it. That's what happened. If he wants some 80-year-old man with a broken stick to part the Red Sea, he could do it. If he wants to shut the mouths of lions, he could do it. If he wants to shut the skies from rain, he could do it. And if he wants his son to defeat death on the third day after paying for sin in full on the cross, he could do it. And if he wants his son to return a second time, he will allow every prophecy of that to happen, to come to pass. Prepare for the rain. Now, I got news for you. This ain't going to be the last time you see Elijah. We know that he was on the mountain of transfiguration with the Lord. And according to what I look at in the book of Revelation, Elijah is going to be one of the two main witnesses, along with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the tribulation, that will spread the gospel like never before, before the second coming of Christ, between the rapture and the second coming. Elijah, I believe, along with Moses, although we don't have their names, we look at the characteristics of what they will do. I believe it will be Elijah once again who will be front and center with controlling the weather. There's something about weather and Elijah, my friends. Prepare for the rain. The rain is coming. You know, the rain came on Golgotha, didn't it? God rained down mercy and grace when his son went to the cross for me and for you. There is no other name by which we could be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. God rained down salvation and forgiveness. And he's not done yet doing that. The Bible says God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God is looking to rain down blessing. God doesn't need the bank to rain financial blessing in your life. God doesn't need the hospital to rain down a medical miracle in your life. God doesn't need Dr. Phil to fix your home. He could do that himself. And God didn't need 1,000 clouds to bring rain. You know, just the other day, I couldn't believe rain came out of nowhere. That's just God. He could do those types of things. Now, it doesn't rain because we say it rains. It rains because God is sovereign. And it rains spiritually in your life because God is sovereign. What blessings do you need to be trusting God for? Are you preparing for the rain to come? Are you preparing? Don't discount the little cloud that God has, the little hope that God is showing you today. Don't let the enemy whisper and steal that joy away from you. You keep trusting God. You keep coming. You keep praying. You keep staying faithful. You keep preparing the ground as if it's going to rain tomorrow morning. That's how God wants you and I to think. That's how he wants you and I to be praying. Prepare for the rain by trusting God's power. I close with this story about two farmers. Elaine, talking about rain and water, I'm getting parched up here just thinking about it, okay? A drought had hit the land. A year and a half, it was real bad. 2 years, it wasn't even promising. And it was going into a third year. Now, both of these farmers, they were not only experiencing a dry land, but their finances were drying up, okay? You have that sometimes when you're between jobs and you have more month than check. You know, you go to your bank account and it's getting real dry. It's in the negative. That's very dry. Well, both of these men claim to be men of God. Well, one of the farmers, he started to really just get bitter. He started blaming God and blaming other people, and look at this person, they're okay through this, and look at me, and he started just getting real upset about it. The other farmer, though, kept praying, and God encouraged him, go plow your fields. If you believe it's going to rain, go plow your fields. And so the man plowed his fields, turned up the ground, and then he went a step further. He threw seed, and seed costs money. He threw the seed, and he planted the seed. Now, the people who knew him said, you're crazy. Not only are you wasting your time, now you're wasting money throwing the seed and planting it. For what? Well, he did this, and he kept going for 7 days. On the seventh day, guess what happened? It rained. And over time, the man was able to reap the harvest of his faith. Not so much the other person. He was too busy complaining and bellyaching, and now he was reaping the bitterness he was sowing. How are you preparing today? Are you preparing for God to send the rains in your life? You know, when you look at Elijah, God used him in an amazing way, and we look at this prayer. He prayed. It's not a super long prayer. It's not something that's going to be on a plaque, but his posture, his positioning, his priority, and now his preparation shows us that's how we're to pray. If God's going to send provision in my life and in your life, we must look to God this way. And everything Elijah has done really was a prelude of how we as believers in Jesus Christ should live right now. I mean, even the sacrifice that was made was a prelude to the sacrifice that Christ would make on the cross for you and I. And if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we're told to approach the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, with boldness to come to God in our time of need. Are you in a drought right now? Is there a drought among you right now? Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Prepare for rain. Prepare that God is going to bring the rains of his spiritual blessings upon you. And he has promised to meet your needs in his son name. My friends, if Christ could defeat sin and death on the cross, he could certainly bring the rains of his blessing upon you and I. I mean, after all, what a waste it would be to come to church week after week or to listen just to check off a religious box, just to go through the motions. We have this living word of God that we could believe in and trust without a shadow of a doubt that God is ready to send the rain. He wants to send the rain. He wants to send rain for you to serve him. Some of you might have a calling. Keep filling that calling. Trust God. Prepare the field. Be generous. Pray. Fast. God will send the rain. Are we willing to prepare the fields? And so I close with this verse from Philippians 4:19. God is the source of all of our blessings. Why don't we say this verse together? And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the center of it all. My friends, remember this as we close. People and problems do not determine your destiny. God does. And yes, it might look real barren and dry right now. Oh, it might look like there's no chance of rain. Well, check this out. God wants you to do like Elijah. He wants you to get with him, and he wants you to hear what he's saying. And God is willing and ready to bring the blessing of his rains upon your life. Stay in faith. Stay in agreement with the Holy Spirit and God. I mean, after all, isn't that what this is all a picture of? There was the sacrifice earlier, and here comes the rains of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of God upon the people. God wants to do the same in our life. Let us stay fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to him, trusting that our blessings will be supplied, our needs will be supplied according to the riches of God Almighty. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. We ask, O God, that you would hear our prayer today. Send the rain of your grace as you sent it to us, O God, as you rained down mercy and grace upon our sinful hearts, and we were restored, we were redeemed. We pray that you would do that in our family's life. Perhaps for those who are here today, oh God, who need a downpour over their children, a downpour over their spouse or over their parents. Lord, a downpour over a medical issue, a downpour over a financial issue, a downpour, Lord God, over a mental issue, a downpour over a calling. Lord, only you could bring the rain. And so we come before you now, oh God, and we want to be obedient, come once, twice, three times. We want to keep coming, oh God, until we see the cloud, until we hear the thunder, until you open the skies, oh God. We want to see a victory, oh God, the victory of your blessing, oh God. We thank you again for the cross and the empty tomb, the substance, the reason for why we can have faith and pray. Thank you that you are the God who brings the rain. The God who rains down righteousness. Help us, O God, in these troubling times not to be distracted or discouraged by the reports of drought that we see, but to seek you, O God, the God of the rainstorm, the God of the harvest, the God who rains down blessing. We take you at your word, O God. Help us to trust you, O God. Help us to move forward. We sow these prayers, looking, O God, to see the rain and to see a victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.